So this morning we're going to continue our shiur on the laws of cooking on Shabbos. We are, like we've done for the past few weeks, what we're trying to do now is we're trying to get down our terminology to understand the different terms and the different, the different terms that come up for Shabbos, so that we're ultimately gonna learn what to do. So this week is gonna be a little bit less practical because we're still learning our terminology. Last week we talked about Kli Rishon. The Kli Rishon, and I'm gonna just use some of these cups here to have as an example. Kli Rishon is the thing that's on the fire, is called a Kli Rishon. That's the one that's on the fire. And if you take it off the fire, it is still considered to be a Kli Rishon. And we said the halacha is that something in the Kli Rishon cooks. So if you have your pot on the fire, you take it off the fire, and it's still hot, you can't put, let's say, cold water into it, because you're going to end up cooking the cold water that you put into your Kli Rishon that's not on the fire. You can't put, we're going to see this one comes up a few times here, a raw egg, let's say. A raw egg, if you put it into, you have very hot water, you take it off the fire, you're going to put your raw egg into it, the raw egg is going to cook. You cannot do that. That's called bishul, that's called cooking d'oraisa, because we said the Kli Rishon, the pot that was on the fire that had been removed, has the power to cook something mi d'oraisa. On a Torah level, it is now bishul. We cannot do that. That's what we talked about last time.
That is what it does. It's the same thing as a boiler. You can't use a boiler on Shabbat because cold water, when you take the hot water out,
cold water comes in. Very good. Yeah, exactly. And mixes. Exactly, 100%. And even if you turn your boiler off right before Shabbos, that would still be a Kli Rishon that's not on the fire, right? If the boiler's on, then it's a Kli Rishon that's like on the fire. And if the boiler's off, then it's like it's not on the fire, but it's still cooked, so you still could not use your hot water, because there's going to be more water that comes in that's going to get cooked. Yeah, very good. Rabbi Ribiad, in one of the Hilchot Shabbat Svarim, has a whole section on boilers, and that you can't use them for precisely that reason. So that's called a Kli Rishon. We also talked about last week that speeding up the heating process is also considered to be an Isser D'oraita. So what we said that means is that you cannot cover your pot for something that's not fully cooked, because that's going to make it cook faster. You can't take something that's not fully cooked and move it, even if it's already on a blech or something, you can't move it closer to the flame because it's going to cook faster. We even said you can't stir foods that are on the flame, right? That was the kolba that we had. You cannot stir foods because stirring it is going to make it cook faster. Stirring, we said, even if the food is fully cooked, you still can't do it for reasons that we talked about last time. So that is called a Kli Rishon. Now today we're going to talk about a Kli Sheni. And we're going to talk about, hopefully we'll see how much we can get through. We're talking about a Kli Sheni. And one second, and pouring. We're going to talk about issues of pouring from a Kli Rishon into a Kli Sheni, what status that has. Right? You take your, this is the pot that was on the fire, and now you pour it into this cup. Can this cup cook? You have Kli Rishon, you had your, let's say, whatever you had in your Kli Rishon, you have hot water from your urn, that's a Kli Rishon. Now you pour it into your Kli Sheni. Can you just add whatever you want into this cup? Can you take your hard-boiled egg and put it into this cup?
That's cliché,
not... Cliché, no. Yeah. Cliche, did I say? What did I say? That's cliché.
You're talking about pouring.
I'm talking about both, right. There's. We'll come to that. So this is a cliché. Oh. Can you then put an egg into this cup to cook it on Shabbos? That's called a cliché.
No,
okay. Okay, everybody with me? Kli Rishon, pour it into this cup. This cup is called now a cliché. Yeah, can you put anything in here to cook? But also, that pouring it, when you're pouring it, do we say the water has the status of the Kli Rishon, which is forbidden to cook, or a Kli Sheni, which we're going to have to see what the rules are of a Kli Sheni? So kind of like, well, the water is mid-air, what status does it have? That's going to be relevant as well. So next week, we're going to then, after we finish our Kli Sheni and what was called Eroy, it's called pouring, we're going to then talk about Kli Shlishi next week. The third cup, right now you have your Kli Rishon, you poured it into your Kli Sheni, you poured it into your Kli Shlishi now. We're going to talk about Kli Shlishi, and that's going to be, I think, what our final, the final thing that we're going to need to know before we can talk about making tea on Shabbos. Okay?
If the Kli Sheni becomes hot from the Kli Rishon, and used again as a Kli Sheni, is it still classic?
What do you mean?
Got hot water, and here's the oil, and you pour it into Kli Sheni,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
The Kli Sheni, then if you want to pour it, then I then pour it in and add coffee or whatever I want to it.
Okay.
But the Kli Sheni then is hot.
Yes.
Then I want to make a second cup. Can I use that? Can I still use a hot Kli Sheni? Because it's already heated up then, the Kli Sheni, from the Rishon.
Can you use it
for pouring?
Can you use it for...
I'm making two cups of coffee.
Okay, yeah. I think what you're getting at is going to be our question, what's the difference between Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni? Why does it matter? Okay? Because if one is... We're going to come to the difference, so we're going to have to understand why... We might not come to a fantastic answer as to why it is, but we're going to have to understand why what the difference is and why it matters. Yeah.
Nescafe is cooked, but Café Chahol, coffee isn't cooked.
Right.
And that's a problem.
Right. We're gonna come into our, when we get up to our practical stage, hopefully next week, we're gonna, coffee we might have to hold off a little bit on because we didn't talk fully about what's called bishel achar bishel, but certainly for tea, it's gonna come up a little bit this week too, even the Turkish coffee, etc. It's gonna come up. Yeah. Yeah, Gary, a question. Yeah.
So last week you talked about the crockpot, the insert.
Okay.
So you take the insert out of the crock pot.
Right.
Is that still Kli Rishon?
Yes, that's a Kli Rishon. We call that a Kli Rishon Shelo Agabe Ha'esh. That's a Kli Rishon. So you take your crock pot off. You can't put the raw eggs, stick it into the middle of your cholent pot so that it's going to cook on Shabbos, because what you're doing there is you're putting a raw food into a Kli Rishon that's going to cook it, yes. Or cold water or anything like that, yeah. Yeah, okay. So the Gemara has a few examples. We're going to come to, I think, from sources 1, 2, and depending on how you understand source 8, all is going to talk about Kli Sheni. Right? Again, Kli Sheni is, the Kli Rishon is on the fire. Think of your urn. When you pour your water from your urn into the cup, that cup is now Kli Sheni. So the Gemara says, we saw this Gemara last week, I believe. Ha'ilfis v'akdera she'avira me'roschein lo yitin l'tochan tavlin. If you take a pot off the fire, you cannot put spices into it, right? This is a Kli Rishon shelo agabe ha'esh. You cannot put spices into it. Aval noten hu l'toch ha'ka'ara o l'toch ha'tamkot. But you could take the spices and put them into the Kli Sheni. That's what this Gemara is saying. You could put spices into a Kli Sheni. We're going to have to, that's a good, remember this because it's going to come back later. And also, we're going to have to try to understand what exactly spices we're talking about, what we're talking about
we're
here.
We're talking about raw spices?
We're going to have to understand what we're talking about. Sure. Yeah, we're not, it's not so clear. And it's not clear if spices change nowadays too. We're going to come back to that. So that's what the first source says, is that you can put spices into a Kli Sheni. The second source is even more explicit in the Kli Sheni. The second source, I cut off the first few words, it's Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Rav Dimi. So now, in the source 2, in the Gemara Shavis, Daf Memo Mebet, Pam Achas Nichnasti Achar Rebbe Lebeis HaMerchatz. So he says, one time I followed Rebbe to the bathhouse. Rashi points out that this is talking about on Shabbos, and that specific bathhouse was okay to use for various reasons we're not going to go into now. It was Chamei Tverius, it was heated by on its own, it wasn't heated by a heat source. Ubikashti laniach lo pach shel shemen ba'ambati, and he says, and I wanted to leave a jug of oil inside the bath because the bath water was warm, and they wanted to heat up the oil so that they could put oil on themselves before they went into the bath. So the question was, so he says, I wanted to heat up the jug of oil, and I wanted to put it into the bath water to heat it up. Va'amarli, and so Rebbe said back to him, Tol bichli sheni vitain. Put the jug of, right, take the bath water, put it into a Kli Sheni, and then you can take your jug of oil and stick it into the Kli Sheni to heat it up. And Shma Mina Tlos, the Gemara says, we learned three things from this story. Shma Mina, first one, Shemen Yesh Bo Mishum Bishol. First thing is that you can cook oil, something that's subject to cooking. Shma Mina, the second one is going to be the one that's important for us, Kli Sheni Eino Mevashel. The Gemara says here, very clear, that a second cup does not cook. Exactly. Second cup, you cannot cook something in it, halachically at least. And then it says, and then there's a third, Shmamina Hevshir Zebishulo, that when you cool down the oil, that's considered to be the same thing as cooking it. So,
is that the third one?
When you cool the oil down, that's the same thing as cooking it. So from here, which is not something I wasn't really planning on going into this, but there's sometimes you have to be concerned that cooling something down, there's a gzera that you're not allowed to always do that. I think it depends on what the nature of that thing is. Like, I didn't look too much into this, but it seems to me that oil, bathing oil, you never make hot, right? Like cooking oil, you make hot. Bathing oil, you're only going to make it warm enough so you can put it on your body. But if it was very, very hot, you'd burn yourself. So in a case where something is that you normally would only make it to get to, like, remove a chill to make it warm, that's considered bishul for that thing. I'm not sure how else that applies. But I'm going to try to look into that more now.
Cooling something.
Because what you're doing here is you're taking this oil that was presumably cold and taking the klisheni and putting the oil inside the klisheni to then warm it, so, to warm up the oil.
To warm it.
So removing the chill. That's the same thing as warming it. So I think that's the principle. Hefshiru, which literally means removing the chillness from it, is considered to be cooking it. But I'm not sure that this applies. I'm not sure where else this would apply. That's what I was just saying. I have to look into that a little more.
If you take water from your shower's kettle into a cup of klisheni, and then you want to cool that down, you put some cold water from a water bottle.
Okay.
Can you not do that?
So, based up till now, you could do that because we said the klisheni is not mevashal; it's not going to cook the water. We're going to have to hold off on that. I think I want to also talk about that a little bit more next week. But basically, from what we're going to see today, that should be okay. That should be okay to do that because klisheni is not mevashal. I think the poskim saying this is what I want to look into a little bit more for next week. If you take a If the ultimate mixture is going to end up to be very, very hot, that still could be problematic. But if you're just going to take from your kettle and put it into klisheni and then pour a half a cup of water, and certainly where you're going to end up with something that is not very hot at all, I think that's fine. But that's also
practical thing is putting milk in tea.
Putting milk in tea. We're going to come to that towards the end. Also, putting milk. Can you put milk into a klisheni? We're going to come back to all these things because they all depend on other factors that we have to see. So what our Gemara basically says right now. What our Gemara says right now is that klisheni is not mevashel. Okay, so why? Why is that? It's an important thing we have to figure out. Kli Rishon is mevashel. Kli Rishon cooks something. Kli Rishon that's not on the fire cooks something. A Kli Sheni does not cook something. Why is that? So the first approach, and I didn't quote this, and the Rashba basically says something along the lines of Chazal did in their empirical studies or something like that. They saw that a Kli Rishon cooks and a Kli Sheni cooks. Most people that quote the Rashba say it's very, very hard to understand that nowadays when you take some hot water from your urn. It's close to probably close to the temperature that's inside the urn. It's hard to say that if you would drop a hard boiled egg inside your urn that it's going to cook, but if you drop it inside the cup that had the water that you took out, it's not going to cook. It's a little bit difficult to say that. So most people quote the Rashba, but then say it's hard to understand that. So Tosfos here also tells us something that might be hard to understand, but it's going to really be our just jumping point to understanding why Kli Sheni doesn't cook. Tosfos asks, "Ushma minan source forms from Shabbos daf memo mevet. Shma minan Kli Sheni einu mevashal. Tema my shna Kli Sheni mechli rishon." So he says, "Here's the question: what's the difference between a Kli Rishon and a Kli Sheni? De e yad soledes. If it's we're just say yad soledes 113 degrees Fahrenheit." If it's 113 degrees Fahrenheit, afilu klisheni nami, right? The klisheni should also cook, right? If it's depending on the temperature, then we should say, if it's above certain temperatures, kli rishon and klisheni cook. And if it's below certain temperatures, kli rishon and klisheni don't cook. Why are you telling me that one cooks and one doesn't? The e ain yatzo let us well, and if it's, this is what I just said, and if it's less than 113 degrees, afilu kli rishon nami ainu mevashel, right? Why are we saying that a kli rishon cooks and a klisheni doesn't cook? The yesh lomar. So now Tosva says, Lufisha kli rishon mitochsha amad al haor. The kli rishon, right, was on the fire. Dofnosav chamin. Its walls are hot. Umachzik chomos man merube. It retains its heat for a longer time period. Ulachach nasnu bo shiur dechols man shayat soledes bo usher. Here, you can. This person loves it. So Toso says that the klisheni, the walls are hot and it retains its heat for a longer period of time. Even though the klisheni could be very, very hot, because the walls of that are not hot, it's going to cool down a lot faster. That's what Toso says. So you're going to say, well, why does that matter?
Yeah, right, because you still have cooking right at the end.
Again, why does it matter? And you could even come up with situations where the clichény, the walls are gonna, it's not gonna cool down very quickly at all.
Metal,
you could make
metal,
you could
metal
yeah, you could have maybe if there's a very narrow opening at the top, so it's kind of like covered up, right? There's a lot of scenarios where it's hard to understand what Tozo says.
Isn't it true that also the material that is made for the clichény could be either to cause the conduction of the heat, it could even cause
like,
it to stay hot. Like
I didn't look into that too much also, but they put some of the folks talk about a thermos, right? Use a thermos as a clichény.
Yes, like an thing.
But I think they still say that we have our principle of clichény and mevashel, so I think it doesn't matter. I think it doesn't matter. If you want, I can also look into that a little bit more.
Deal at some later stage with a klishlishi.
What about it? What about the klishlishi? Oh, we're gonna talk, we're gonna come to klishlishis next week. That's absolutely something we're gonna come to. No, great. We're gonna come to klishlishi next week, and that's gonna then lead into how do we make tea on Shabbos, because we need to have to understand. It could be from the end of this year that if you wanted to accept some of these opinions, you could make. You'll be able to make your tea on Shabbos after this week.
So far, it sounds like there's no such thing as a klishlishi.
But this
right, because the Gemara, the klishlishi is not in the Gemara. The Gemara does not talk about a klishlishi.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're talking. This is the Raisa, correct?
We're talking.
We're not even.
So, I actually looked in. Hold on, that's a very good question. So we say klishlishi is not mevashel. So it's not mevashel the Raisa, not mevashel the Rabbanon. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you're doing it twice.
I was thinking of
saying the Rabbanim also. It's not.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Yeah. It's not. Okay. It's not Mavasha de Rabbanan. Okay. But we will now jump ahead just to one point on that is that there's a Tosfos in Source 10 who says that you still there's a separate concern for klisheni that makes it impractical to ever use. Okay. Not everybody is going to accept that, and then it's a question if Tosfos is talking about liquids or solids. That's another question. But Tosfos says that there's a problem called mechzi kimevashel. It looks like it's cooking. It's hard to tell the difference between kli rishon and kli sheni. Mechzi kimevashel is something that we're going to come up when we talk about putting food back on Shabbos and things like that. One of the major, major concerns is we have to make sure it doesn't give an appearance of cooking. That's usually something that's a derabanan. So if we say that kli sheni is mechzi kimevashel, looks like it's cooking, then it would be also derabanan. So that's what.
How do you define looks like it's cooking?
I have to look into that a little more. Usually we define looks like it's cooking is that there's a heat source that's not covered up. That would be which would be our source then for covering up, putting a blech on, covering a knob, something along those lines. That's usually what we say. But we'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. But it's a good question. It's a good question. Okay, so Tosfos here gives us this suggestion that klisheni. Right. Again, just kli rishon is a cup that's on the fire. Kli sheni is when you pour it from the fire, from your urn into your cup. That's called a kli sheni. He said kli sheni doesn't cook because the walls were never heated up on the fire. It's going to cool down faster. So then we noted that that's hard to understand because you could still have a kli sheni that's I don't know 180 degrees Fahrenheit, whatever, something ridiculously hot. Of course, if you put an egg in there, it would seem to be cooking. So what's the difference? So some of the contemporary rabbis, I found this from a few of the Gush rabbis. Rav Gigi has this, and Rav Rimon both have this. Is that they say that maybe for Tosfos he's saying that how do we define cook? We define bishul as using a heat source for cooking. So it could be that Tosfos is saying that a kli rishon that's not on the fire is still connected enough to the fire to be considered a heat source. But the kli sheni, because the walls of that second thing are not hot, we would not consider that to be a heat source. That's really what Tosfos is getting at here. It's a halachic explanation. That was a little complicated, but again, he's saying it's not a practical thing. It's a halachic thing. Is that to have cooking on a doraisa level, you need to have it heated by a heat source. So something that the walls of that cup are not hot, we're not going to call that, and it's going to cool down. We're not going to consider that to be a heat source that we would say that's bishul. Okay, so this is what, and based on the Rambam, based on there's an Or Sameach here who says that after a certain point removed from the fire, we would just say that it's totally severed from the fire. So maybe that's what Chazal are saying by a klisheni, that it's just far enough. We have to draw the line someplace, and it's far enough removed from the fire that we say that it's not connected to the fire. So if anything were to cook in that, we would say did the egg cook? Yes, the egg did cook, but it didn't cook through a fire. So now you're not chai for that on Shabbos. Okay, so now, just to there's to sum up the halacha, because the halacha is going to be straightforward until we come to the exceptions, until we come and to the exceptions for the exceptions. In source 7, the Orcha, you have a question? Source 7, the Orcha Shabbos tells us, Kli Sheni, Hu HaKli, Shalatocho, Iru Atamacha Meakli Rishon, it's the one that you took from the fire and you poured into this one. Va'amru Chazal, Shakli Sheni, Enu Mevasha, Chazal tells us it doesn't cook. V'hainu she'af she'hatavshil hamunach b'kli sheni chan b'shir she'ayad toledes bo. Even when the kli sheni is so hot that it's over 113 degrees, mikomol kom eino mivushal, it still doesn't cook. V'lachein mutar latit mayim tzonenim latoch mayim chamim she'b'kli sheni. So here's the case. You can put cold water into the hot water that was in the kli sheni because it's not going to cook. That's what the Orcha Shabbos says. So if you take hot water from your urn into a cup, you can then pour some cold water into it. But like I said, I want to do some more research, because I think if at the end of the day, if you put so little water in it that the whole mixture would still end up being very hot, I'm not 100% sure. I want to look into that a little bit more. But what do we say? We say the halacha is cliche and he's not mavashal, doesn't cook.
Okay. Hold off. Don't do it.
You can put in a lot. That's why you can put in a decent amount. Okay, kli sheni, right? Kli sheni is not mevasha. We also pointed out nobody saw anything about a kli shlishi because the Gemara doesn't say anything about a kli shlishi. That's going to come up next week, right? A kli shlishi would be then if you pour it into another cup. There's two possible proofs that you can draw from the fact the Gemara doesn't say anything about a kli shlishi. One is that when it says kli sheni, it means kli sheni, etc. Right? Anything along the process doesn't cook. And the other ones, and the other way to learn it is that kli sheni dafka doesn't cook with all the exceptions to it, but kli shlishi is 100% okay under all circumstances, and that's what we're gonna come to next week, and that's gonna get into the very practical issues of making tea. But now we have kli sheni and mevashel. So what's the problem? What's the problem now that we have when we say the second cup does not cook something? Are there any exceptions to that? Any exceptions to the exceptions? That's really what we're gonna say here. So the Gemara in source 8. The Gemara in Shavas Dev Kuf Mem Hey Amud Bet 145b says Kol Shaba Bechamin Be'erev Shab Me'erev Shabbos Shornos O Bechamin Be'Shabbos. Anything that had been cooked before Shabbos, you're allowed to reheat on Shabbos. Again, it's going to be subject to future parameters. This would be our source for Ein Bishol Achar Bishol. Yeah. Kol Shaba Bechamin Be'erev Shabbos. Anything that had been cooked in hot water on Friday, you can put back into hot water on Shabbos. Okay? If it was cooked, bishul, achar bishul, this is the source where if something was cooked already, you can heat it up on Shabbos without being concerned for bishul. You might be concerned for other things.
In the same manner?
In the same...
It has to be
in
the same manner.
That's the big question, yeah. Big question, yeah. Don't yeah. Yeah, I'm just right. Like, meaning, if something was, we're gonna also come back to that in a few minutes. Just as an example for something. But if something was baked, you cannot then put it into hot water to cook it. Right? That's because those are two different cooking processes. If something was roasted, you can't stick it back into water. Only if it was baked, you could then do a baking equivalent. And if it was heated in water, you can put it back into water. But this is going to be in 2 weeks, okay? So no, if there's any confusion. It's called bishul achar bishul. Heat it up the way that it had been heated in the first instance, subject to many limitations, such as, is it a liquid or a solid, and how you go about doing it. Yes. Yeah, this is complicated, but we're going slowly so that everybody, you know, everybody's staying with this, and we're learning all the rules here. Yeah, question.
What are the categories of cooking? Like, there's chazara and shahiya. Like, what are those?
Right.
So
shahiya is when you had it on the fire from before Shabbos and you leave it on. Chazara is returning it on Shabbos.
Which is what we're talking about.
This is... Yeah, this would be... Yeah. And then hatmana is insulating it. Insulating it. Well, we're going to come... Those are going to be the three derabanans that we come to in a few weeks.
Sorry, this may be coming attractions, but if you boiled eggs and then put them in a dish, and then try, and then put them on the plat on Shabbos. Loto.
So that's going to have to be. We're going to talk about that because putting on the plat, I think would be the equivalent of like a roasting kind of thing, and not a boiling cooking kind of thing. We're going to have to. Yeah, we're gonna come back to that. Yeah, I'm not so sure that off the top of my head from what I remember. So if you need a more practical answer. If you need a more practical answer, ask. I can look into that immediately, but in terms of the details, we're going to come back to that. We'll absolutely come back to that. Okay, but that's not for now. What's for now is If you didn't cook it on Shabbos, madichin oto b'chamin b'Shabbos. So you're allowed to pour water onto it. What this means is we're going to come back to is called iroi, pouring, right? If you remember the categories that we had last time from the Shmir Shabbos Kilchas, he says there's a kli rishon, then there's iroi, pouring from the kli rishon to the kli sheni, then there's a kli sheni, then there's iroi, pouring from the kli sheni to the kli shlishi, then there's a kli shlishi. So this is our source for iroi, pouring. The Mishnah says you're allowed to pour. The question, does the Mishnah mean you're allowed to pour from a kli rishon or from a kli sheni? We're going to come back to that. Mishnah says you're allowed to pour, but now chutz min hamaliach. This is what we're focusing on. Maliach hayashan vekolius haispinin. These are a very salty kind of fish. Everybody, they translate this one as a Spanish mackerel, I think. Shahadachasan zohi gmar malachton. When you pour water on this kind of fish, you're pouring hot water. That is enough to cook it because the fish was so like thin, that all it needed was a tiny drop of water to hit it, right? Most things you have to cook, you need the hot water, you need it to sit in hot water for a few minutes, pasta, you gotta sit, it has this, that may be cooked, I don't know the details, but whatever the food is, your egg, it has to sit in there for a few minutes. This is something, it doesn't even have to sit, the whole act of cooking it is pouring water on it, and that's enough to cook it. You're not allowed to pour water on it.
Wait, so the chosh that's talking about something raw?
That's talking about something raw. You can pour hot water on it, yeah. So, what we have from here, what the postgim called this category is now kale habishal, something that is easily cooked. Something that is easily cooked, you're not allowed to even pour from the klisheni, really, even the klisheni onto it, and all the more so you're not allowed to put it inside a klisheni because it's going to cook it.
This
so now,
is like oatmeal.
Yeah,
we're come to practicals.
Instant oatmeal.
We have to understand also more the processes of, I don't know how. Instant oatmeal is cooked first. Is it cooked first?
No.
Oatmeal?
No. What makes it instant?
I don't know. This is
no. It cooks by the water. The heat of the water.
But did it cook? But did it cook once before? So then, yes. If it yes, then it could be oatmeal. Could be an example of this. It could be. We're gonna.
I don't think it's cooked.
That's cooked. That's cooked pasta.
So. I don't think instant oatmeal has been cooked.
No?
No.
Okay, so that's somebody's homework, find out.
Right,
okay. Okay. So let's now just talk about our rules here. We had a rule of kli sheni doesn't cook, and now we have a major exception to this rule is if something is called kale habishal, something that cooks very easily just from pouring a little bit of water on it, you cannot put it into a kli sheni because the kli sheni will cook it.
Well, you said you can't pour the water onto it, or you can't even
pour the water from the kli sheni onto it, which is I think is the
who,
and Tosos even says at the end, and hu hadin, even to put it inside the kli sheni. Yeah. Yeah. Tosos, I don't think we'll go through this inside, but the Tosos in source 10 goes through, like, what exactly are we talking about here? And he does allow that it could be talking about from a kli rishon, in which case he still says it's also because mechzek kimivashel. This is where his mechzek kimivashel comes from.
Doesn't certain, like,
Tavlin
fit, like,
goes in
the category?
Yes. So that's what we're going to come back to, is that if you remember, the source 1 said that you can put spices in. So now, right, we're exceptions to exceptions, but we'll end up there, yes. So the rule is, rule 1, kli sheni doesn't cook. Rule 2 is, except where it does. For kali bishul, right? Rule 3 is, what is a kali bishul? What are these kali bishul, these things that are so easily cooked that we say you cannot put them in source 3? And the question is whether tea could be a kali bishul or not, because it most likely is. Most likely it's something that it easily cooks. You just, you know, put...
How do you get that this is from a klisheni?
Tosfos has a discussion about whether it's from a klisheni or a klisheni. Okay. He goes through both possibilities, but he says even for both, you can't put some.
Okay.
Okay. So the question is going to be, how do we define this? And the answers might be a little disappointing, depending on your perspective. The Sefer Yoreim in Source 11 says, Hilkach. Sefer Yoreim was one of the Bali HaTosfot. Hilkach, Yizaher Adam Shelo Lahachnes V'Shabes Shum Dover B'Chli Sheni V'Af B'Chli Shlishi, he says. Shayat Tzoletis Bo She'ein Anu B'Kiyem, because we do not know B'Dvarim Rachim. We don't know these things that are soft. That's his way of saying Kali HaBishol, or that it's something that's soft or easily cooks. We don't know what counts. Mihu Mispashel B'Chli Sheni Mihu She'einu Mispashel. So he says that because we don't know what's considered to be Kali HaBishol, something that easily cooks, don't cook anything in a Kli Sheni. Or klishe. Or klishe, he says.
Why did you mention Yad Selezbo, though?
Because that's going to be our cooking cutoff.
But then, so that... So
even Kli Rishon that's not Yad Soledes is you're allowed to put something in.
So that means we're not... I was under the impression that the Kli Sheni is a halachic parameter regardless of how hot the water is. Because Yad Soledes Bo, I can have a Kli Shlishi.
That's
Yad Soledes Bo also.
Yeah. No. So we say that it's Yad Soledes Bo, but it still doesn't cook. Because of what the Toso said, that the walls aren't hot, which we might have explained further removed from the fire.
So we're really not concerned. But we're still, so it's like we are concerned, we're not concerned with Yad Soledes Bo.
We are. It would only cook if it's Yad Soledes Bo. Yes, we are.
The walls can't cook.
For Kali Bishel, for Kali Bishel, Yad Soledes Bo is important. Yeah, because that's what's going to make it cook, yeah. Yeah, so again, so Kli Sheni, we said Kli Sheni doesn't cook, except for Kali Bishel, it does cook, but like Eric points out, it's only going to cook if it's Yad Soledes Bo, right? If you let your Kli Sheni sit for a few minutes after you take the water from the urn, it's not gonna be too hot anymore, then we would say that's not going to cook, yeah.
So
Yad Soledes Bo is the point that is the point where your hand is going to get pulled back from the heat.
Oh, okay.
We said it's a little hard. We don't know exactly. Mm-hmm. I think Rav Willig pointed out that he thought that was 113 degrees mm-hmm. Fahrenheit. It's about 45 degrees Celsius. Mm-hmm. Even in Rabbi Ribiat's book, I'll just go get it because
if anybody's curious and you want to know,
because 113 degrees Fahrenheit is where the raw food is.
Rabbi Ribiat has the Hilchos Shabbos book.
It's a little stringent in general. It has everything in here. It's in English. It's fantastic. So he recommends in this book, he recommends that you become accustomed to how hot things are in general, so you get a good, so you have a good understanding of what Yad Soledes Bo is. He even quotes he has a chart with the average temperatures of your sink water, your bath water, the average temperature for this thing, so that he says it's important that you get an understanding of what Yad Soledes Bo is. So, if anybody wants, they could take a look.
160. That's the biggest
noise. Right, but that's for stringency purposes. You should assume that it's 113 degrees, but for reheating it might have had to have heated to 160 degrees, but that I think is going to be in the Bishal Achar Bishal part. Yeah.
Says, we don't know what's Rachim Vekashim. He's saying we don't know which things are Kalei HaBishal.
Exactly. We don't know. Something that's soft is a Kalei Bishal, something that's hard is not, and because we don't know, don't do it. That's approach one. That's approach one, yeah. Okay. Approach one is what's Kalei HaBishal. Right. There's going to be three, logically, as far as I could think, there's going to be three approaches. One approach is we don't know, so everything is Kalei Bishel. The other approach is nothing is Kalei Bishel unless we know that it is, and nothing is Kalei Bishel. And the middle approach is going to be you have to try to figure out some things are going to be and some things aren't going to be, and you should try your best to figure it out. So now we're going to see those three opinions inside. So we saw that the Sefer Yoreim says that since everything is, we should not cook anything in a klisheni. Klisheni or klishlish, yeah. The Shulchan Aruch. So now, what does the Shulchan Aruch say in this? The Shulchan Aruch in Source 12 says, "Yesh mi sheomer didavar shenefe o nitzla, something that was baked or roasted in bishlo achar kach b'mashki yesh bo mishum bishlo." This is a bishlo achar bishlo thing that we were talking about before. If something was roasted, don't put it into water after to heat it. And now, va'aser litain pot. You cannot put bread, which we would consider to be something that's very soft, that cooks easily, that's rach, it's soft. Afilu b'chli sheni shehayad soledes bo. Don't put bread into a kli sheni, because we might be it's going to be a kalei habishal, and bread could be cooked easily. Don't put bread into a kli sheni. Then he says v'yesh matirin, and other people allow you to do so. So, yeah, question on, was there a question on that?
No.
Don't put bread into a klisheni, because bread would be a kalei bishel.
What about
but he only says bread, he doesn't say other things.
What about croutons and soup?
Okay, croutons, right.
Croutons or soup?
Fried in oil.
It's going to be depend on how they're made.
Or baked.
It depends on how they're made. Croutons depend on how they're made. That's going to be a big question to come back to. And the other question is, and we're jumping the gun a little bit here, but I'm glad that everybody's on board here. The question is, what exactly is soup? Because soup might be a klishlishi, because the ladle might be a klisheni, and that's going to be a big deal for next week when we talk about klishlishi.
That doesn't matter.
It It does matter because of Shulchan Aruch. It seems that the Yerim who says Klish Lishi, that's also, not, I don't think that's Paskin.
Most people soup is not Yad Salibis. Most people soup is not Yad
Salibis. No, I don't think so.
I think so. When you put soup in your mouth, it's not over 110 degrees Fahrenheit.
I think it is. I don't know. I think everybody has to pay attention this coming week if you have soup.
That's interesting.
If you're a hot soup,
if you take your soup
if you don't cover, if it's sitting on the plate that's not covered, you know.
Yeah, it depends.
I think
that
time it's in your bowl and you're ready to.
I tend to agree.
That it is.
It's not so hot.
It's not so hot.
You can tell if you have to blow. You know.
It's hot for me. I don't know.
From a crock pot, it could be.
Okay.
Depends how long it takes for you to put in the bowl to get to the table.
Well, the Shulchan Aruch here, he says two opinions.
No. What about adding matzah balls?
So he says two things. He says one is that you have to be concerned at least for bread, but he says bread only. Then he quotes an opinion that it's allowed. So he says maybe bread only is not allowed. Then he says it is allowed. In source 14 and in source 15, we're going to come back to 13 in a second. Let's look at source 15, the Mem Gimel part. V'yesh matirin. This was the opinion that it's allowed. The Mishnah Berurah says the opinion that says you're allowed to dip your bread into a klisheni is savarle de'ain klisheni mevashel bishum davar. It means that he doesn't hold. When he says bishum davar, I didn't think too much about this beforehand. I think he would probably say that there's something called kalei bishul, but we just shouldn't be concerned for it practically. Right? Meaning, if you know for a fact that something is a Kalei HaBishul, then be concerned. But otherwise, don't just start guessing with all your things, with your challah, with your everything else that you would have. Don't start guessing that it's a Kalei HaBishul. Meaning, according to the this Yesh Omrim, it sounds like it's always allowed, right? Don't even think twice that klisheni doesn't cook, and don't be concerned for kalei bishul. That's what the Yesh Omrim says. So that's the Shulchan Aruch. And what's the halacha? Right, the Shulchan Aruch says two things. He says one is don't dip the bread into it because then the bread might get cooked when you stick it in. The second thing he says is that it's okay. So what's the halacha? So Rav Avadya Yosef in Yichave Das tells us this is something good to know. Good rule is when the Shulchan Aruch says two things, which one should you follow? Because a lot of times he quotes two opinions. So it's ulfi haklal. I'm just quoting a short part of this. Ulfi haklal shuva b'shut avodas hagirshuni uvechneses hagadola shuba ofen kazes shemevi maran shtei deos. When the Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions, yesh omrim v'yesh omrim, and they both start with some type of yesh omrim. Like in our case, he says in source 12, yesh misha omer x. Then if you skip to the next line, he says v'yesh matir. And when they both have this v'yesh involved in them, the rule is halacha ki yesh omrim basred. The halacha is like the last one. Right, when there's a stam, he doesn't say this. When there's a stam in a yesh omrim, when the Shulchan Aruch if he would have just said dovar shenefe o nitzle yesh bo mishum bishol the yesh matirin, then the halacha is like the first one. That's what we call stam v'yesh omrim. Stam means he doesn't say anything. He just says it in the name of nobody. Just says it. Stam v'yesh omrim halacha kistam, but yesh omrim v'yesh yomrim halacha is ki yesh omrim. So it would appear from here. Then Rav Avadya says he's also. He's medayik. He reads very closely the language where he says yesh misha omer v'yesh matirin. He says that's in plural. That the first one is in singular and the second one's in plural. So we go like the plural one. That's something interesting. I don't know how, where else that matters.
Because it's one opinion against. Multiple.
That's what he's
so
being.
But
the yesh matir. This is yesh misha omer. Right, so again, if it's yesh omer v'yesh omrim, like I guess then they're both plural. Then you go by the second. So what we have from here is that the Shulchan Aruch's opinion seems to be that we don't have to be concerned for Kalei HaBishul. That's what would emerge from here.
At all.
That's what the Mishnah Berurah said in Mem Gimel, Mevash Bishum Davar. I'm not sure if he would agree that there might be one or two things. In Source 15 in Mem Gimel, he says, Savar Lei De'ein Klishen Mevash Bishum Davar, which would be the basic understanding of the Gemara.
But the Shulchan Aruch says the Nagli Zaher Lechatchila Shaloli Kimpa Afilu.
Oh, hold on, we're gonna go. That's the Ramah. We're gonna get to that.
Oh, okay.
We're gonna get to that. So it would seem that the Shulchan Aruch says we don't have to be concerned for Kalei Bishul. Now, how do we understand the Gemara in Shabbos from Source 8? So we're going to have to understand that according to one of the other ways of Tosfos so that it's not such a problem, because that was the Gemara that seemed to say that there's things that cook so easily. So Tosfos has a few explanations for that. It would seem that the Shulchan Aruch's opinion is klisheni never ever cooks, which was like our first rule that we started off with, klisheni never cooks, and you don't have to be so concerned for it.
And how come we say the Shulchan Aruch isn't concerned at all if he's just talking about bread?
So the Shulchan Aruch here is talking about Well, he starts off talking about bread because of a bishul achar bishul concern. He's saying a fia achar bishul would be a problem, and according to that, it might even be a problem in a kli sheni. Okay, so hold on. So we're saying we have three opinions. One opinion, Shulchan Aruch Kali Bishol, we never have to be concerned, Klisheni doesn't cook. Second opinion, the total opposite is the Urayim, that we always have to be concerned for every single thing. The third opinion that we're going to have here, that we're going to see with the Shmir Shabbos quotes, it is in source 16 from the Orchel Shabbos, which is another contemporary halacha sefer. He quotes the Chazonish. Omnama Chazonish Kasav She'ein Lachush Lachmir Ela Bepashi Nochelis Bashal. The Chazonish said, the Shulchan Aruch says bread, because bread is something that's very, very easy to cook. Or an egg. Egg is something that is easy to cook. And with starbred, he says it makes sense that we would include tea in this category also. But other foods, we don't have to be concerned for kalei abishol. So he's presenting, the Chazon Ish is presenting to us this middle ground, is that there's some things we know that cook easily. So for those, don't put them into the klisheni, and he includes in this list an egg. In case you're wondering, I was wondering, how could an egg, you put, the water cools down fast, right? How are you going to boil a heart, take an egg and boil it? So he quotes in the footnote here, he says, you just keep pouring out the water and taking more from the klisheni, right? So you put the egg, you put have a klisheni, put the egg in it for 2 minutes, now the water's already much cooler. So now take another klisheni, put the egg into that, and he says it. He says he thinks it's going to cook. I'm not sure that makes it kalei bishul anymore.
Yeah, it'll be
soft boiled. Yeah. 2 minutes. Okay. Okay, I'm not an egg kind of person, so I. Okay.
But here's a grandfather. Like, you're talking about the instant oatmeal, which is not cooked. Then you have the dehydrated soup, like in the powdered soup that is cooked.
Okay.
Reconstitutes it. Like
that's also we're gonna hopefully talk about that. In the question there is if something had been cooked before, but it's not in the same state as it is in now, like instant coffee. The question is if something is gonna like instant coffee, do we view that as a liquid or do we view that as a solid? Because that's gonna matter for reheating purposes. So a similar kind of question is involving these powders, to the best of my knowledge. But yeah, hopefully, like I said, next week we're going to get to the more practicals. This week we're still trying to just build up here what's Kli Rishon, what's Kli Sheni, not just Kli Rishon, what's Kli Sheni, and some of the details involved.
So from what you just said, it would seem like anything that has the adjective attached to it is instant would be Kalei Bishol.
Right, Yeah. I'm sorry. I should have pointed this out. But the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah also say that we really should be concerned for this opinion that everything is kalei abishul. Okay, so that's going to make difficult problems for Ashkenazim. Sfaradim might have it a bit easier because the Shulchan Aruch seems to say that we don't have to be concerned at all for kalei abishul Ashkenazim. Yeah. We have the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah who seem to be saying that we need to be concerned for kalei abishul. So now again, rule kli sheni doesn't cook except for kalei abishul, and now we have the Mishnah Berurah and the Mishnah Berurah quoting the Magen Avraham telling us that we need to be concerned that everything is going to cook. So now that we have those two rules, now we're going to have our third rule, and it's complicated, but we're trying to have our building blocks here, is that if we assume that we cannot cook anything because it's kalei habishul, like everything in the world would be kalei habishul, there's some exceptions that the Gemara pointed out that are okay. Right? There's certain things we know for a fact that are not kalei habishul. That would actually be the better way to say rule two is if we know for a fact that it's not kalei habishul, you can put it into a klisheni, otherwise you cannot. Okay, so what are these things? So if we look back in source one for a second, source one told us that we could put spices into a klisheni. It must mean that spices are not kalei habishul. They're not going to cook so easily because the Gemara said, the Mishnah said we could put them into a klisheni. In source two, the Mishnah said we could put oil into a klisheni. Must be that oil is not something that's going to be easily cooked. There's a third Gemara that I didn't quote that says we could put water into a kli sheni. So if we look in the end of Source 17, the Shmir Shabbos, where the Shmir Shabbos really also takes this approach of we really need to be concerned for anything being kalei abishul, the very, very last line, and he even quotes, I guess because somebody brought this up earlier, let's read it inside because it's Source 17, we're going to see the Shemir Shabbos. Mikevan sheyeshna ma'achalim hamispashlim gam b'chli sheini. Because there's things that cook in a klisheini, ve'ein anachnu b'kim la'das eluheim, and we don't know what they are. Yesh la'achmir v'lomar shekol davar she'ein mevushal. We should say that anything that's not cooked, yesh mishum isr bishol gam b'nisinasu b'chli sheini. We have to be concerned that everything's going to cook. Now he's going to give us practical halacha here. Ulefichach, therefore, asur litein beitza. Turn the page. You cannot put a beitza chaya, a raw egg, betavshil cham b'shir sheyatzo lettuce bo shebitzalachas. You can't put it into your plate. V'hu hadin ba'asher le koko ragil, right? Like koko. Cafe tachun she'enu mevushal, or coffee, that not instant coffee, or like Turkish coffee, or somebody takes just ground up coffee that they have. What's it called? A French press or something, where you would take your coffee and you put it in there. You cannot put cocoa, coffee that wasn't cooked before, aleitet, tea leaves. He says, b'chol tzura she'en kigon ha'netunim b'sakit o b'kapit. Or kapita, that must be a typo. He says, a tea bag, all these things are things that we would consider to be Kali Bisha. You cannot, according to the Shemir Shabbos, according to this approach, you cannot take a tea bag and put it into a klisheni. Okay? So now the question is going to be, what about klishishi? And that's going to be for next week, right? According to this, you cannot take something that had not been cooked and put it into a klisheni, including hot cocoa, some type of, I don't know how hot cocoa is made. I don't know exactly what he means by this, but certainly we can understand the ground of coffee. You can't do that. It was never cocoa cooked before.
Cocoa.
It's ground up. There's not. They never did bishul to it or anything. Okay.
No, that's ground up cocoa beans.
Okay. So ground up cocoa beans, ground up coffee beans, anything like that. The post we're talking about, and even with coffee beans, those are roasted, so it's a different process also. There's two problems there. One is that they're roasted, so even it's still subject to cooking it after. And two is that Post can kind of say that the Aruch HaShulchan quotes this by the T in his time. He says that he says that it was never roasted. People try to say that it was cooked before, something along those lines. I don't think anything is done to the T before. And he says, even if it's true, it was so minimal just to kind of prepare it for you to bite it, cook it yourself, that we wouldn't even consider that to be any act of cooking. So this is what the Shmir Shabbos says. He has more dvash, honey, ale minta, nana leaf, something like that. Kol eila ein letitem b'kos shehi klisheni. Don't put it into a cup that's a klisheni. Kishehem ein mevushalim zemikvar, because when they hadn't been cooked before. And he says, v'chein ein letitem plach limon letoch tech shu b'klisheni. You can't even put a lemon wedge into it, because that's going to be, he says, something that's going to easily cook the lemon somehow. I'm not familiar so much with this, but don't put the lemon in, because that's going to cook as well. But now, what can you do? According to all opinions, yotzim min haklal hazahim mayim v'shemen v'tavlin. Water, oil, and spices. And spices is going to be our big one here. Spices, you're allowed to put in a klisheni when they're not cooked, because the Gemara, in fact, had said that. So questions? Any?
A difference between instant coffee and the French press coffee?
Absolutely. Yeah. Instant coffee had been cooked before, so you likely could put instant coffee into your klisheni, right? You can't pour the water onto the instant coffee, because that's going to be something we're going to come to hopefully soon, but you can put you likely can, depending on some of our future weeks here, can put your instant coffee into the water. But what he's saying is you cannot put your ground coffee into the water, because you're going to now end up cooking the ground coffee, and that is not an exception to the rule. That's not an exception to the rule. Okay, so I guess it would be to point out at this point in time, because we just said you cannot put your tea, right? Shmuel Shabbos says you can't put your tea. They quote from Rav Chaim Brisker, the Rav Soloveitchik's grandfather, that he made his tea in a klisheni. They quote that. There's a nice line, hopefully I'll quote it for you next week, where the Rav did it also, Rav Shechter does it as well, where the Rav says, he says, my grandfather was a Shomer Shabbos, and this is how we made tea, and that's how I make tea. That's his line. They say that he thought, that he was of the opinion that tea is considered to be a spice, in which case, you're allowed to put spices into your klisheni, and that's what they say. It's we're gonna get maybe one or two better definitions in a minute from Rav Moshe, source 20. Yeah.
So the Shmir Shabbos Kilcha says, going on the rule that he's considering everything to be kali habitual except for the things that the Gemara
that we know for a fact that aren't, right? As opposed to saying nothing is unless we know for a fact it is, which I think is Rav Schechter in Rav Willick's Sefer, he quotes that also. He assumes, I don't know if he's so different than the Chazon Ish, but the Chazon Ish said look at the thing and see. Rav Schechter says we only know what is, so everything else we would assume is not kali habitual. There's a Gemara that says you're allowed to pouring water from Kli Rishon to Kli Sheni and back and forth.
So what do you do with tea essence? If you make tea essence before the day before
tea essence, we're gonna come up next
week. Which comes
week.
First, the tea essence or the hot water in the Kli Sheni?
The hot water. But we're gonna talk. Yeah, we're gonna talk about that because of Eroi concerns. We're gonna talk about that. So Rav Moshe in source 20, we'll skip source 19. Source 20, Rav Moshe says he's going to disagree with the Shemir Shabbos that we just saw. The al kafeh ena mevushal, right? This is the case of your coffee that wasn't cooked, just that your, what is it called, percolated coffee that you got ground. V'chein koko she'ein ne'achalin v'hurak letavlin. He says that the whole thing is a spice. L'chorehem vada. He says, Rav Moshe says he thinks that raw coffee is like a spice. The imkain mefurish b'masnisin shabeklisheni einam mitbashlin. Klisheni does not cook. Umutar litain lechachila. You can put coffee into your klisheni. Right, like the French press, let's say. Right, first you can't pour the water onto it, but you just take your klisheni and then pour your. Pour your on top and start Turkish coffee. Let's say Turkish coffee, right? How would you make Turkish coffee in Shabbos? According to Rav Moshe, you can take your klisheni, put in the hot water, put your Turkish coffee in, and then stir it up, and that's fine. And then he says tamua amasha. I'm not sure who the sefer is. Machmir b'klisheni v'kam v'klishlishi l'datu. He says I don't understand why this person is being so machmir by klisheni klishlishi. V'chein machmir mishnah brura she'oser gam kafish who kafe b'klisheni mitam deish tovam yispashal v'klisheni. So he says I also don't understand why the mishnah brura is being so machmir on this. He says hot b'tavlin before she'im yispashal b'klisheni. It's very clear that spices don't cook, and he says, well, the thing that's clear is that spices don't cook. The thing that's unclear is what constitutes a spice, which is what he says, that he thinks coffee, percolated coffee, is not a spice. And then he says, Bishlama ba'ale teh, efshar lo nechshu b'chlal tavlin. He says, maybe tea is not a spice, and then then you cannot put it in. Deheim lo nisnu l'tayma el lamar. So now he tells us how we define a spice, something that's for taste, and something that you're making, like making the mara, just the water appear differently. He says that's not a tavlin. So I was just wondering,
what, it's not a tavlin if it's only for
Mara? Right, tavlin is tavlin is for flavor. You're allowed to put something in for flavoring, but not for He says if it's for Mara, then it's not a tavlin, and once it's not a tavlin, then we said everything is kali habishul, so then you can't use it.
If it's for Mara, I mean for appearance.
For appearance, it's not a tavlin. So that's what I was wondering. I was wondering about that, if anything would have changed, because I was just, from what I remembered hearing, etc. Like, you know, if. Or sometimes, I guess, you see grandparents doing this, or they put the tea bag in for like 10 seconds or something like that, right? So I was just wondering, now there's a humongous industry. I think tea is one of the most, like the second biggest drink in the United States or something like that. That's why like Starbucks is spending billions of dollars buying all these tea companies. So I was wondering how things would have changed here. I guess that it's not up for us to decide, but we'd maybe ask the Rosh Yeshiva, ask somebody like that. But it could very well be that if we're assuming, like this Rav Moshe, that the coffee is there to flavor the water, and once it's for flavoring, then we call that a tavlin, a spice, that it could very well be that tea would be considered to be one, because you're putting it in for the flavor nowadays. You're not like, you know, you're not putting it in, using the same tea bag 10 times each time for 10 seconds just to drink your water that has a tiny drop in it, something along those lines. That's something that I was wondering. Yeah.
So Rav Moshe is assuming it's for Mara, not for
what is tea is, but yeah, not coffee. Yeah, not coffee, right? Nobody would put a coffee. You're putting in a whole spoonful, right?
We're mostly assuming the tea is just for looks, basically.
Basically. Then at the end, we're going to come to Ramosha's opinion next week. At the end, he still recommends using klishlishi for everything. But he says, really, al pidin, he says for himself, I think, in one of the other places too. That's when he says, the last line here is, l'maisa tzorech al kopanim l'hachmir b'klisheni u'mutr b'klishishi. He says, really, you should be machmir. We're gonna talk a little bit more about that next time. But he says, al pidin, al pidin, you could have made your coffee into a kli sheni. So
now, all this is on the, we are on the assumption that we're on the Yatzal Hadaspo.
That it's above Yatzal Hadaspo, right? If it's under Yatzal Hadaspo, then like we said before, then it would be fine.
Oh, so it's above, this is all
under the all under the assumption above Yatzal Hadaspo. All under, right? The Shmir Shabbos said that it was Chan Bishir Yatzal Hadaspo. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. If your klisheni is not that, if you have a, if your hot water urn is like a, you know, a Shabbos urn is weak or something like that is old, and the water is hardly hot, then Iruay might be a bigger problem, so I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily tell you to put the tea bag underneath it, but in that case, then yeah.
So Moshe say coffee is tavlin?
Yes. Yes.
But has to be cooked?
He's talking about uncooked coffee.
Is tavlin.
Cooked coffee is going to be other things that you could probably likely would also be able to put into klisheni. Yeah. Yeah. Questions? Yeah.
I was just thinking that the urns and the pump pots probably attain a temperature far exceeding 113.
Right, right.
Yeah, because it's really hot. You know, yeah, I don't think it's
depends.
Are puppies.
Right, right. Those are very right. Yeah, mm-hmm. The urn is hot, and then the water that you come into your klisheni depends on mm-hmm. is likely also very hot. Right, right. Which is what we're saying. If it's not so hot, then you shouldn't really be concerned. But if it's hot, then you have to be concerned right. that even though it's according to Allah, it's not going to cook. But because we don't know what it's not going to cook, then we're stringent. We don't put anything into it. So Rav Willig, from a few different places, I quoted here in his Sefer, we'll jump to source 59, page 59, the third source that I have here first, because this is something Lewis said before, right? Let's say, like Rav Moshe, our Turkish coffee into our klisheni, right? Because Rav Moshe said that you don't have to be so concerned that that's a tavlin, that's a spice, and what about milk? Can you put milk into it? Because milk might be a different, right? The rule is we have to be concerned that everything is a kali abishal. So Rav Willig says milk may be treated as a spice which flavors the coffee as well. So if you're going to be making your coffee in a klisheni, you can certainly put your milk into the klisheni as well. Because it's just the spice there for flavoring. He quotes another thing that the milk, it's going to maybe cool things down too. I don't know. That,
yeah,
it
but
depends
so what
on that
Maim and Shemin does also.
Maim and Shemen.
In terms of the temperature.
Right. Okay, there was a question we skipped about Maim and Shemen, whether that was like a code word for all kinds of liquids or specifically uh-huh. those two. So
no.
Because milk does curdle. I mean, it does cook in some ways.
Right, so he's saying that we don't have to be concerned for that, even though the normal rule is, because he's basically saying milk, we consider that to be a spice as well.
Curdle is something else, isn't it? It's going off when you curdle.
Okay, I don't know.
When you put it in hot tea, it changes composition.
And then he basically tells us that really we should be concerned in general for klisheni, for at least for solids, like because of the mechzei kimivashal thing that we talked about earlier. But fine. So then, in the last few minutes here, it's a little bit later than I thought. In the last few minutes here, we're going to talk about. One other issue here that we're going to all come back to a little bit next week, and that's called iroi. Iroi means pouring. So it's a big, big machlokas in Source 23 in Tosfos about what the status of the poured liquid is.
How do you spell
Ayin, Yud, Resh, Vav, Yud.
Right,
oh, I can't. I put pouring, I specifically put pouring in my title because I couldn't figure out how I would possibly transliterate Iroi. I-R-U-I, like, I don't know, it's... Okay.
How do you spell in Hebrew again?
Ayin, Yud, Resh, Vav, Yud. Iroi.
Iroi.
Yeah. La'arot. To pour. So, what's the status of pouring? Right? Again, Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni, you have your Kli Sheni under your urn. The water's coming out. On the one hand, it's not in the Kli Rishon anymore, so maybe it's not a Kli Rishon. But on the other hand, it's not in the Kli Sheni yet, so maybe it's not a Kli Sheni. What's the status of it? So, Tosos quote three opinions in this matter. Actually, you might have thought that there would only be two. There's three opinions in the matter. Opinion one is that we consider it to be like a Kli Rishon. And like we said, Kli Rishon is going to always cook. So you can never put anything under the stream of water that's coming down, because the water has the status of a Kli Rishon, and a Kli Rishon always cooks. The second opinion that he quotes is the Rashbam, that it's a Kli Sheni, and now... Right, anything that you normally could put in a klisheni, right, if it's not kalei bishul or something along those lines, you could, like according to the Rashbam, you could put your Turkish coffee straight into your klisheni because the Turkish coffee is uncooked and it's a tavlin, and klisheni is, the poured water has the status of the klisheni. You could do that. So you could do that. But the problem is that we don't hold like either of these opinions. We hold like a third opinion, which is a compromise. Oh. And this is what the Tosfos quotes, a third opinion, the Shulchan Aruch says this too, is that it has the ability to cook a little bit. That's what we say. Iroi cooks a little bit.
What does that mean, a little
bit? A little bit. So the phrase in Halacha is kidei klipa. It means it cooks the outer layer. It's not going to cook the whole thing, but it'll cook the outer layer. So why does this matter? Why does this matter? I'll give you a very... I don't know if there's other practical application of this. This is the one that I heard in a shiur from Rabbi Rosner. This is the one that Rabbi Ribia quotes in his book. Is that, let's say you have a bottle, a baby bottle with formula in it, and you want to heat it up a little bit. If you put it under the stream of water, we say that the stream of water cooks the outer layer. What's the outer layer in this case? It's a plastic bottle that's not cooking because nothing's happening to it. So the poskim quote that you're allowed to heat up your baby bottle directly under the stream of water, because if the stream of water would have cooked the entire, we would say it has the status of real cooking. You can't do that. But because we say it only has this half status of cooking, it cooks the outer layer, you're allowed to stick your baby bottle under the stream of water because Iroi only cooks a little bit. At the end of the day, I think that might be the only difference that I could think of. I'm not sure.
It doesn't matter, but if your coffee, which is going to be the tavern, you can't put it in
because the top of it is going to get cooked. 100%. 100%. 100%. So basically, the rule is you cannot pour from your kettle onto something, with the only exception being something like a baby bottle. I couldn't think of another exception. Okay, that's very, very important. We said that has a status, and this is what I was thinking before: is this d'oraisa d'rabbanan? Rabbi Ribia quotes that it's d'oraisa, that it's cooking d'oraisa. So you cannot ever put, you can't put your instant coffee, you can't put your tea bag, you cannot put anything into the cup and then have the water that was in your urn pour out onto it.
What about in bishu after bishu?
So, well, come back to that with liquids and solids. We'll come back to that with the liquids and the solids. This might be considered to be a liquid because the instant coffee turns into liquid. If you melt it down, it becomes a liquid. So then there is bishal or bishal by liquids.
Well, what if it's solid? What if I pour hot water from my plate you're showing onto a piece of meat?
That was cooked already?
Yeah, I have a piece of chicken.
Okay,
I'm gonna
look into this a little. I just want to look into it a little more.
Do you understand the question?
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to look into that a little more. Hopefully, you'll remind me later.
But you don't pour hot water on a tea bag, and you don't pour
hot water. Here, I guess here we're talking about things that are not cooked before. So if it was cooked before, and then there's no bishal chavishal, then it would seem to me that you could do it. But the question is going to be by instant coffee, because it's a liquid that I don't think that would apply. Okay, so the final issue that we're going to have here now is something that you might think sounds like a very big chumrah, but it's something to be concerned for, is that if we say that Iroi, you're not allowed to pour onto other things because it's going to cook them, the question is, what happens if you take a mug out of your pantry, your cabinet, sorry, you take it out of your cabinet, and you just rinse it out with some water first before you put it under your hot water urn. There's going to be drops of water that are inside your mug. When you have the water that comes down, your hot water from your urn is going to hit those drops of water that are inside the mug, and that's going to be bishul. You're going to be cooking those from Iroi, right? You're going to be cooking those drops that are inside your mug. Okay.
That happens all the time.
Two cups of tea is going to be an issue that because that the previous water had been cooked already might be slightly different. Happens all the time. Happens with your ladle. If you take soup and you put your ladle down and then everybody wants seconds and now yes. Your ladle has all the drip. But again, that was cooked already once before, so that might be a
residue in the ladle.
Right, exactly.
Nobody's saying if you come back for seconds,
it depends. If you come back for seconds, 10 minutes later. If you come back for.
Not very efficient that way.
Each first bowl. No. After everybody's served.
If you serve, then you ask them if they want some more.
And then you take more.
All right.
Not on the second.
So Rav Moshe Feinstein says you have to be very, very concerned for this. He says in Source 26, Hine Iroi Mivasha Kedei Klipa Midoraisa. He also says midaraisa. Lachain yesh, after the three dots, lachain yesh lesor la'aruz mitoch kli rishon roschin lechlisha hiduchuhu b'mayim karim. If you washed your coffee mug out with cold water before using it, you cannot pour the water from your urn onto it. Because nish'arabo tibim shemis bashlim hatipos. There's going to be drops in there that are getting cooked. And he says, even though it's a secret, it's lo nichle, you don't care for it, he says, it's still usur. And Sarach Linagva, what you'd have to do is you'd have to take a towel and dry it out according to Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe is one of the more stringent opinions in the matter. He's stringent here. The Shevet HaLevi in source 27, this is going to be our final source that we'll do today. But the Shevet HaLevi basically says, he agrees in principle, you have to be concerned for these drops. He doesn't agree that you need to drive yourself crazy to take a towel and dry them out. He says what he does is he just shakes it out, figures the real drops are gonna fall out when he shakes it. In the end, if there's like a little bit condensation or a little bit, he said that is just so negligible that we shouldn't be so concerned for it. So it would appear, And again, like Eric had pointed out earlier, this is for specifically uncooked water from the tap. Had it been a previous cup of tea, we're going to talk more about that next week and the week after about the previous cup of tea, because that water had been cooked already. So it might be that once it had been cooked, it can't get recooked. But at the end of the day, we all have to be careful that if you decide to just rinse out your coffee mug before using it, try to do some type of act to shake it out, because otherwise there are going to be drops in there that are going to get cooked. So now we'll just do a quick recap here, then we'll call it. So we did a lot of information here. We talked about klisheni. This week was entirely klisheni. We said klisheni einu mevashel, does not cook. We said except there's certain exceptions. The exception that we talked about was kali abishal, things that easily get cooked. We said since we don't know what those are, that might include everything. The Ashkenazi practice is to really have a concern for anything being cooked in a klisheni, unless we know for a fact that it does not cook from the Gemara. And one of the more important things that we know for a fact are tavlin spices. We said spices don't get cooked. And then we said, well, the question is what constitutes a spice or not. The Shmir Shabbos seems to say that coffee, all those things are not spices. Rav Moshe says that he would consider anything that you're putting in for flavor, i.e. spice, coffee flavors the water. So Rav Willig has a point where he argues, the counter argument is that maybe if it's the main ingredient, we can never call it a spice. So it could be that the coffee, because it's the main ingredient, can never ever be a spice. That's what Rav Willig points out in the Sefer. But Rav Moshe says because it flavors the water, it's not a spice. So therefore, you could put it into the klisheni. But we noted the most very, very important thing is to not pour directly from your kli rishon, because that's something called iroi that is forbidden. First, put the water into the klisheni, and then put. Assuming you can put
iroi
your
tavlin.
Iroi cooks. Yeah, iroi cooks. Iroi cooks anything. Yes. That put it in on top of the water, and that would be okay. So next week we're going to talk about kli shlishi specifically. And then from there, we're going to talk about how do you make tea on Shabbos, all the different options. I'm not sure we're going to be able to, maybe we'll try to include instant coffee, but it's going to assume information that we're not going to come till the following week about whether you can recook something that had been cooked before. But we'll have to see for that. So that'll be next week. Okay.
Next week?